Hey everybody, it's Ryan Stone here.
And Logan Rosa.
We're going to be doing sports, and we're going to be talking about NFL and the NHL. Our name is Gridiron Sticks. So let's get started. A lot of big name injuries happened in week two of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees getting hurt.
That was more of like a question mark because I wasn't able to see the injury exactly, but it looked like... As he was throwing it, hit Aaron Donald in the hand.
Yeah.
Their hands collided. And now he's out. I mean, he was out for the majority of the game. And it just seemed like a routine thing that, like, he'd be out for one drive and, okay, you know, get it fixed. Yeah. But as soon as he went on the sidelines, he tried to pick up a ball and it didn't even look like he could.
Yeah. He couldn't even grip a ball.
No. Now, the 6 weeks timetable, that's a little short than what I thought. I mean, when you think of an injury like this, it's his throwing hand.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, I know that age doesn't really matter, but, I mean, it kind of does with this thing.
What I heard is it was a torn ligament in his thumb.
And you're telling me 6 weeks?
I mean, he got surgery on it already, from what I've heard. Yeah. So, maybe he's back?
I mean, they're going to need him, because they're a powerhouse, and, I mean, Bridgewater, yeah, he hasn't played in about a year.
Did you check out their schedule?
Yeah, it's not.
The first couple weeks, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. And Bridgewater didn't look like he knew how to throw a ball.
But then again, you're also going, it's Rams.
Okay, so but they...
That defense is amazing.
It was in Los Angeles, so yeah, okay. We'll give them that.
Yeah.
The Saints are a dome team. They're used to playing at least 8 games inside L.A. I mean, L.A. weather's favorable, but it was pretty humid out. And, I mean, Aaron Donald, who can pretty much beat a double team.
Yeah.
Bridgewater's a good quarterback. He was picked in the first round. He was capable with the Vikings. He led him to the playoffs. And, I mean, yeah, he had a gruesome injury, but he's back, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Out for the year. This one stinks.
It does. I mean, the man's 37, 38 years old. It's not like it's never happened to him before. But it's never happened this early for him.
Yeah.
Usually early on injuries or early on significance for him is a suspension because he has been in trouble in the past. But watching the game, there wasn't anything that caused it. It was just,
I didn't see it.
Would it be excessive throwing? Because he just grabbed at his arm after a drive and he was continuously grabbing his arm after every throw.
It had to be like a hyperextension or something.
Well, they're saying it requires surgery and he can't avoid it. So, I mean, worst case scenario, it could be Tommy John surgery, which, you know, baseball pitchers and baseball players get that all the time. And they miss a significant amount of time. And, I mean, it sucks, but it's really what needed to happen. I mean, when you look at it, that's how his career started.
Yeah.
Tommy Maddox goes down week two of the 2004 season, and Ben wins every game from that until the AFC Championship game. Now, am I saying Mason Rudolph's going to do that? No. Would I hope he would? Yes, but I'm thinking realistic here. And I mean, the guy's going to be good. Don't get me wrong.
What's your realistic expectations for the Steelers now?
Well, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season.
I think it could be like 8-8 this
year. I mean, that's perfectly fine with me because the season's pretty much lost as of right now. I mean, you get embarrassed week one against New England, and now you lose your home opener to a close game to a very beatable Seattle team.
Yeah.
But it's internal things. It's not like – I mean, New England demolished them. That's easy to say.
New England also demolished the
Miami.
Dolphins.
But, okay, that's Miami, and we'll get to that later. But you easily had the game against Seattle. You score, you open the game up, but it's just internal things. You had the lead at halftime, but – that defense really can't stop anything right now.
No.
I mean, yeah, you play 2 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks back to back to open the year.
Which, that's tough.
Right. But when you're considered a much better team at home than you are away, you got to convert on some of these. And it's just painful because the narrative is still they lost Le'Veon and Antonio.
Yeah.
And can they rebound from that? Are Juju and James Conner really reliable or, you know, position fillers?
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I mean, they're both Pro Bowlers, but
that's tough shoes to fill for anybody.
It is when you're arguably replacing two of the best at their position.
Yeah. Exactly.
But
well, speaking of Antonio Brown, let's get into that whole situation. Over summer, dealt with the whole
frostbite on the feet,
helmet issue, and then
every week it's something new with this man.
Every day,
I mean,
it's something new with him.
You're just waiting to wake up in the morning and look at your phone, see if there's something new about him, because there's something new today.
Yeah.
Apparently, another woman accused him of a sexual assault in a Sports Illustrated article.
Yep.
And I mean, the whole summer fiasco, it pretty much showed that, like, back whenever when he originally started forcing his way out of Pittsburgh back at the end of the year, the end of the 2018 season, it obviously looked like he didn't want to play there anymore.
Yeah.
Which he never did. He didn't want to. You miss a game. You miss a very key game at the end of your team's season. Now, granted, you had to win and have some help. And then, I mean, Cincinnati. You know, you get them at home, you're probably going to win that game, regardless of who's playing. But, and then you go on this whole fiasco saying, get me out of Pittsburgh. I don't want to play here anymore. You get traded to Oakland, where you start drawing comparisons to where Jerry Rice ended his career. Randy Moss was there at one point.
Randy Moss.
But you say you want to be there, and then when your actions roll over to the next team and the front office and coaches respond the same way that they did in Pittsburgh and Oakland, and you get mad about it, it's honestly just like, what is this man thinking?
Yeah.
We don't know, and it's really sad because this is a 31-year-old man acting like he's a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't get his way, or if he's not treated like he's the best player there is, he's going to get angry.
Yeah. And then now he's in New England.
Well, he's where he wanted to be originally, and that's what I feel like, because he forced his way out of Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even play a regular season snap there.
Yeah, exactly.
And you already try to get your way out. Like, you post a video as soon as you get traded there in March. Going to Derek Carr's house, hugging him, saying, now I got, you know, a real friendship, saying that Ben Roethlisberger never did this with you. Your kids didn't know his kids, and it was just a whole headache. And then you go through all this just to, not even half a year later,
Do it all again
just so you could go play with the greatest quarterback of all time, who's pretty much, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, I could see him retiring, but that's just everybody's
I could see him retiring too this year,
and
regardless of the Super Bowl win.
And what really confuses me about this is, yeah, Brady and Belichick are going to treat him like a human being, and there's really no social media needed in New England, because you do one screw up there and you're gone.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well, there's a clause in his contract saying that if he's late to a meeting, mm-hmm. the team can.
I'm pretty sure that's in all 53 members of that team, is that Belichick doesn't give a crap.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, you have the greatest quarterback of all time playing there, and even if he messes up,
then he's probably gone.
Yeah, so. But he's never messed up in 20 years. So this wide receiver's messed up plenty of times in the past week.
Yeah.
And well, one more thought about this is, when you think about it, he was the number one option in Pittsburgh, always was. I mean, whenever he became who he became, when he got his first contract or his big deal, he was number one. Like, it was him and then everybody else. It was him, then Emmanuel Sanders. It was him, then Juju. It was him, then Martavis Bryant. Like, it was always AB was one.
Yeah.
He would have been that in Oakland. Yeah, they signed Tyrell Williams, but he was by far and away the most complete person on that team. Most complete option.
He's not the number one in New England.
He's not even the number two, honestly. Because Josh Gordon's been there for a year now. He's back. Yeah.
Julian Edelman's the number one.
Julian Edelman is Brady's favorite target. You have
Philip Dorsett
that are still there, and you have all three running backs who can catch the ball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, you lose Gronk, so, like, that takes out Brady's big target, but they're still capable players that play there.
And in a few weeks, N'Keal Harry comes back from injury.
And Brady's not a type of guy that just goes, okay, it's you. Like, Ben and AB were like, it's either you or I'm throwing the ball away, or I'm probably throwing an interception.
Well, with the game yesterday against Miami, the first drive, Brady threw the ball three times.
And it was all to him.
Yeah.
And now, could you see that making him happy? Could that just be incorporating him into the offense and making him
I think it's
getting on his good side to start off the game? Because, you know, if he doesn't get targeted on a drive, he's going to throw stuff.
I think it was just trying to get him incorporated in the offense.
I don't
think it had anything to do with, like, his emotional status. Because he was targeted 8 times in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Caught 4 balls. 3 were on the first drive. So he caught 1 ball for the rest of the
game. Now, if that continues, I could see him blowing up about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one was a pass deflection, so, like, it was a good play, but...
Well, not just because of the amount of targets and to receptions, but just the receptions in general. If he doesn't get, honestly, more than 5 in a game, he's lost his head. So,
well, let's move on to Miami Dolphins and how bad they are.
The team should just honestly blow up. And like you were getting to, there's star players wanting out.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, there was multiple.
Fitzpatrick wants out.
There was multiple that wanted out. And obviously, you have your star corner in Xavier Howard, who said he wants to stay there. And you have your starting running back in Kenyon Drake, who is pleading to stay there, which is kind of odd. But Minka Fitzpatrick wants out, and I'm sure countless others want it. Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't look like he knows how to throw a ball right now.
Josh Rosen. I know, like, the Patriots really, like, they pulled Josh Rosen in late in the game, and the Patriots really weren't trying. But he looked good.
Yeah, but like you said, it was too little too late. And, I mean, that guy's not their future. They're tanking for a certain person who's playing for Alabama right now. And once he gets there, he's going to be given the reins to the whole franchise. Now, I don't know what they really expect in return, because they got 2 first-round picks in return for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. That, I believe, Houston screwed up giving that up. But
well, I got some breaking news.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Flyers have re-signed Travis Konecny, one of their RFAs, to a 6-year, $33 million contract extension with a 5.5 AAV. So the Flyers finally, well, that's one less RFA off the board. But getting back to Miami, they're bad. I think
the team's going 0-16. I really can't see a team that they're going to beat unless it's late in the year. And it's a team that's already locked up. It's like, say, a division. I mean, I don't know who they play week 17, but you got to assume, unless it's the Jets.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the Bills are 2-0. But how long is that going to last?
Not long.
Unless it's a team that isn't fighting for a playoff spot, or if they've already locked up a playoff spot, you know.
Yeah.
That might be their only win.
Well, Green Bay Packers, I do not know if they're legit or not.
You already have an argument going on with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Yeah, but, like, okay, so you beat Chicago in a low-scoring game.
Okay, but Chicago's defense is for real. Trubisky's not, but their defense is for real.
And then you beat the Minnesota Vikings, who looked wonderful in week 1 against the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Green Bay is legit?
Do I think they're going to win the division, if that's what you're asking me? No. Yeah. No.
Do you see them as a playoff team?
Yes. Well, you also have to see in the bigger picture who in the NFC South is going to go. Breeze is out 6 weeks. Atlanta's always up and down. Carolina, Cam Newton, I don't think knows how to play football anymore. And Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay has a win. They probably won't get another one until week 10. Yeah. At the earliest, maybe. And so you're going to get one from that division. Because one of the 3-1-1 teams is going to pull away, and I figure it's going to be Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going
to
be Atlanta.
Because Breeze is down for 6 weeks, and they could easily slip to like 2-6, or 2-7, and they might be done early.
Yeah.
And then you got the NFC East is probably going to produce 2 teams.
Yeah, and the Cowboys and the Eagles.
The Cowboys and the Eagles. Now the Cowboys get the early jump because Philly lost last night to Atlanta, but I think they're both complete teams. Now, Philly did get banged up.
They did. They got majorly banged up.
Carson Wentz,
Deshaun Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, even Zach Ertz got banged up for a play.
And Carson Wentz isn't exactly playing right now like he should.
Yeah.
From that contract.
He took a few shots last night.
And, I mean, getting back to Dallas, they look serious. Now, I know they beat the Giants and the Redskins.
Yeah, you can't.
But Kellen Moore's offense looks pretty good. And then... So you're probably going to get 2 from that division. And then my Lord, the NFC West. Okay, you got
the Rams.
You got three teams that are 2-0
yeah.
in that division. Is Seattle real? Is San Francisco real?
Who knows?
You don't know. You know the Rams are real. The Rams are going to keep this up.
We know the Rams are real.
We know that 2-0 is for real.
Yeah.
But San Francisco, you beat Tampa and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then you get Pittsburgh this week with an injured quarterback.
Yeah, so like you're not really proving anything still.
And the Seahawks just beat an injured quarterback team in the Steelers, yeah. and they beat the Bengals by one.
Yeah.
They have a point differential of +3, and they're 2-0.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm saying the Packers can make the playoffs, even as a wild card team. And they, I mean, I'm not going to knock them from the division because right now it's them and Detroit who are undefeated in that division.
Well,
I don't believe in Kirk Cousins, and I'm not starting to believe in Mitchell Trubisky. So I think they're legit.
So since you mentioned Detroit, they tied week one against the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think of Kyler Murray so far?
Okay.
The first three quarters of the game against the Lions were terrible.
Yes.
The fourth quarter and overtime, he looked pretty good.
But he couldn't lead them to a win.
No.
And then yesterday, they kept it close with Baltimore. Respectively.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good defense. Now, they did lose everything, but that's a very good secondary.
Yeah.
No, I haven't believed in him since I saw him in college. Now, did he deserve the Heisman? Yes. Because he was outstanding in college level.
Number one overall
pick? No. The only reason he was is because Cliff Kingsbury became the coach of the Cardinals. And the two quarterbacks, I mean, I'm even putting pre-draft, I probably had him second behind Haskins.
Okay.
And, I mean, you could have clearly saw in the preseason when he played, he's short.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, he's my height playing the quarterback in professional football when your average lineman is probably anywhere from 6'3 to 6'6.
Yeah.
So you have to not only throw over your lineman, you have to beat coverage. I mean, the man made a living of running and scrambling.
But that only gets you so far in the NFL.
The NFL, you're going to get learned, you're going to get figured out, and he's probably going to fail.
Look at how Lamar Jackson did in the playoff last year.
Okay, but he's also bigger.
Yeah, but still, a running quarterback. They played the Chargers once, and it was the first time that another team played him again.
And they figured him out.
And they figured him out like that.
But yet, Baltimore's still 2-0.
Yeah, but they really haven't faced anybody.
They played Miami and Arizona.
Exactly.
But no, I don't think he's... So far, I would give him probably a B- because he at least let him do a tie and a comeback, kind of, against Detroit. But he did have a pretty tough test yesterday. But
yeah. Well, I'm very confused about the Los Angeles Chargers.
That was surprising because, like, really, in the early window games yesterday, they didn't mention that game really once. Like, when you watch the other games and, like, they didn't really game break or anything. There was nothing big in that matchup. It was kind of odd because, I mean, yeah, Los Angeles traveled to Detroit. It was an earlier game. But
they should have blown them out.
Yeah, they probably should have.
They should have blown them out. Like, it should have been, like, 30-10.
Yeah, but it was one of those cross-country things, kind of. I mean, Detroit's not exactly – are they Central Time? Is Detroit a Central Time team?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, then that's – I mean, that's a 12 o'clock kickoff there then you would see. Yeah. And so
but
that's
like, even still, that shouldn't matter because
– It shouldn't, but it – when you get travel and jet lag, it – I mean
– They barely beat the Colts last week.
Right.
And now you go up against the Lions, who I think are worse than the Colts.
Yeah.
And you lose. Is it because they don't have Melvin Gordon?
No. They can't use one man as their reason. Because running back's an easily replaceable position.
Yeah, but what I mean, Phillip Rivers has never really had a good offensive line to begin with.
No, but he's like, I mean, he's had a pretty dang good running back.
Yeah.
For the majority of his career with LT to start and then Melvin Gordon these past couple years. Can't forget about Darren Sproles when they had him.
Yeah.
I mean, Eckler is good, but he's just another – he's a Darren Sproles replica. He's not going to be a three-down back. He's way too tiny to be a three-down back.
He basically won them the game against the Colts.
Yeah, but when you're a Super Bowl contender against a team that lost the reason they were a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
the Colts are supposed to be a beatable team, easily beatable without Andrew Luck. I still have them as a playoff team. I mean, I'm not going to move that yet.
Well, speaking of the Colts, are they a playoff contender?
No.
I mean, so you had, they hung in there with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go up against the Titans, who demolished the Browns and beat the Titans. I mean.
Yeah, but that was always the team that, okay, I know he's not there, but Andrew Luck was always the Titan killer.
Still.
Yeah, still, but that division is so seesaw that any of them can win.
Yeah.
Literally any. Jacksonville's 0-2. Jacksonville's 0-2, and I could still see them winning that division.
I can't because Nick Foles isn't there.
But it's literally wide open because they're all. But yeah, they're all 1-1 or Jacksonville's 0-2. So Jacksonville's not in a hole like most 0-2 teams are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. The Colts aren't that team. They're going to get one. That division's getting one team. Right now, I think it's Houston.
Oh, yeah. Houston's winning the division. I think they're going to get their act together, and I think. Well, I mean,
they played in New Orleans week one, and they should have won that game. But Will Lutz just happened to kick a great field goal.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it's no. Indy got a win. It's not a pity win because it's a division win, but they're not going to translate to the playoffs.
Well, let's move on to the NHL a little bit. There's a lot. The biggest news with the NHL lately is just the amount of RFAs that there are. Mitch Marner signed a few days ago. Travis Konecny signed while we were on air. But you still have Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, Braden Point, Matthew Tkachuk. All of these guys are still sitting out, yet training camp has already started.
Yep.
The first preseason game has already started. Most teams get in action tonight. So I'm even forgetting about Mikko Rantanen in Colorado. There's so many guys. We didn't have this issue before William Nylander. I hate to say it, but we didn't. Before William Nylander, we would not have RFAs holding out for as long as they have.
Well, they can also look to the other sports and say, like, hey, why can't we do that? Yet exactly. Our salaries aren't even anywhere near that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's the power to the player. It's what they deserve, but on another level, it's kind of childish.
Yeah.
Like, if you've held out this long, and what my viewpoint is with all this is, like, if you're really willing to hold out a season when you're a professional sports athlete.
Well, you only have, for hockey, you have until December. Yeah. If you don't sign by December, you're not eligible for the rest of the year.
Right. But, and I mean, there's all different kinds of positions for each sport, like when you can sign by. I believe the NFL is like around week 7 because that's when Melvin Gordon said he's supposed to come back. But it's just really, do you like the game? Like, are you loving what you do? Because obviously, if you're willing to sit out just because of money, you obviously don't love the game enough and you're just in it for the money.
Exactly.
And that's what really gets on my nerves is like, seriously?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Penguins a bit.
Okay.
Big move, trading Phil Kessel. The return for Phil Kessel, I think, is a pretty good one, honestly. You get Alex Galchenyuk and you get Pierre-Oliver Joseph. Alex Galchenyuk really has not broke out yet. He was drafted 3rd overall a few years ago by Montreal. And he's just been okay. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Penguins are going to be okay this year. And then aside from that, with Kessel, Malkin has been reported to say that if Kessel wasn't traded, then he was going to be traded.
Yeah.
Or that he wanted traded.
Which is so weird because they were on the same line together.
And they were, you think Kessel's not a bad person. He's not a bad teammate. So obviously he hit Gino the wrong way, apparently.
Something happened.
Something. I mean, the guy won, in his 4 years with Pittsburgh, he won 2 cups.
Yeah.
So I think
part of it was, dealt with a little bit of the cap situation. Okay. I think it was kind of like a cap dump.
Right.
Because Alex Galchenyuk, his deal ends after this season. Pierre-Oliver Joseph, touching up on him a bit, he's a good prospect. Long term, I think he's like at least a year or two away from making the NHL, though, realistically.
Well, the Penguins need D help, and it's really not going to be...
Yeah, it's not great right now.
No.
But, well, to finish up here, we're going to talk about a little bit about the NHL draft.
Okay.
Jack Hughes versus Kaapo Kakko.
And then the drop-off after them.
Yeah, which was a major one.
Yeah.
But, honestly, I don't know. Devils went with a guy who has a higher ceiling, but isn't as NHL ready. Because Kaapo Kakko is NHL ready and will probably be on the first line with Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad. And he is probably going to light it up with at least 70 points in his rookie year. Whereas Hughes, probably going to play on the second line. Maybe he cracks 50. Maybe he cracks 60. It's a big if. I don't know if it's going to happen.
But then you also got to look at which team is more likely to go further, which team's more likely to have, you know, meaningful games.
I think the Rangers are going to be I think they're kind of like a sleeper team to make the playoffs this year.
You would think just to make the playoffs they're a sleeper team?
Yeah.
I mean, they went out and signed the, you know, kingfish of the free agency class.
Yeah. Getting Artemi Panarin. Yeah. Trading for Jacob Trouba. Yeah. Drafting Kaapo Kakko.
I mean, you knew Panarin wasn't going back to Columbus, so he was he had to go somewhere. And I didn't know if...
It was either the Rangers or it was the Florida Panthers.
And that's where his ex-teammate went.
And Sergei Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be... That whole division, the Metro division, is going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Yes and no.
It's going to be competitive. We'll just say that.
It's going to be competitive, but I don't know necessarily if it's going to be top-notch.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, with Hughes, the guy's known, you know. He, at least to the casual viewer who at least, you know, knows a little bit about hockey, he's an American prospect.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's been around.
I think he's going to be a Patrick Kane where he's I don't.
Hopefully not with the allegations.
I don't think this guy can be a true number one center in the league. Because Patrick Kane, when he came in, he started off as center. And then they bumped him over to right wing.
Which?
I can see that in New Jersey.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's weird. Metro's going to be competitive, like you said. But honestly, I can see any team in the Metro making the playoffs except for Columbus.
Which is just a big surprise considering what they had at the end of the year and what they went into the playoffs
because
with.
Because they lost everybody.
Yeah.
You lose Matt Duchene. You lose Ryan Dzingel, two players that you traded for at the deadline. You lose your stud in Artemi Panarin. You lose your backbone in net in Sergei Bobrovsky.
You can't just, you know, flip a switch and be, oh, okay, we're okay.
Yeah.
You know, you lose four core players like that.
And you're going to try and tell me that Gustav Nyquist is going to replace the offense that was left behind with Artemi Panarin going? Not going to happen.
And it's even worse for them because, like you said, they acquired the two of them, the first two that you said, at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They're a small market, and they're not going to attract. Like, what can you do in Columbus aside from Ohio State?
Yeah.
They're a small market team regardless of what sport they would be in. And it's hard to attract. Like, you're going to have to draft well. And, I mean, maybe like you said, if they don't make the playoffs, that they finish at the bottom.
I mean, they have a good core on defense. You have Seth Jones and Zach Werenski.
Boy, Seth Jones is left there.
So is Pierre-Luc Dubois. That kid, I feel bad for him.
But it's sports. It's what you have to deal with.
And maybe they'll be the next Islanders.
Oh, gosh.
But, well, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully we won't have any more Antonio Brown news coming out.
Well, I mean, that's kind of good and bad if we do, because then we'll have something to talk about and something to give a laugh about. But, yeah, we'll review what happens in week three, the NFL. We're getting closer and closer to the NHL beginning. I mean, we got preseason games tonight, so we'll see how that goes. Otherwise, really, I mean, and if anything furthers, you know, we've had two major injuries in the NFL this year or this week. And, I mean, it's just part of life. So
well, we'll catch you guys next week.